We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Davis 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good!
2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers.
Hello, Lakers Nation. Welcome in. Trevor Lane here for LakersNation.com, your home for everything Lakers. This is the LakersNation.com podcast. Technically, the season is still going, but let's face it, we already have moved ahead to off-season stuff, so we've got a lot to dive into today about what the Lakers are going to do moving forward. Joining me is Sean Davis from LakersNation.com. Sean, have you accepted the fact that the Lakers will not be in the playoffs this year? Like, has it really set in at this point?
Yeah, I think it's set in now. I think it's set in maybe after. I watched your postgame show, and I think watching that again, I think that's what kind of set in for me. I was like, wow, the Lakers really, again, I don't think anybody thought it was going to be this bad. I still think we all thought the Lakers would be a playoff team, but I think it's set in a little bit. Has it set in for you at all now?
Yeah, I feel like I'd kind of come to accept it like a couple of days before that final, because we kind of knew, like math-wise, that it wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
But it's still weird. It's still weird. And of course, a lot of fans from other teams, a lot of other teams right now, if you look at what the Pelicans are doing, they're clowning on the Lakers and trying to take shots at them and all that. I just hope the Lakers will keep a nice list of all the teams that are saying things right now and remember that when things come back around. But we do have a lot to get into today. And I do want to mention that it's going to be a very busy offseason for the Los Angeles Lakers. I think there's going to be a lot of turmoil, a lot of turnover. It's going to look like a brand new team next year. So if you're not doing so already, make sure you do subscribe to the Lakers Nation YouTube channel. Turn on the notifications as well. There's going to be a ton of stuff happening this offseason. And the same thing with the Lakers Nation podcast. Over on Apple Podcasts, toss us a 5-star rating, a review. We love reading those. And make sure that you are subscribing there so that you stay in the know with everything that's going on with the Lakers. But Sean, I want to kick things off here with LeBron James. He had a comment on the shop where he said that he would like to play with Steph Curry. Now, first he said Bronny. He would want to play with Bronny. That'd be his number one pick. But then he said Steph Curry. And obviously that raised some eyebrows. LeBron doesn't just say stuff off the cuff. He usually has a reason for saying these things. Is this something for Lakers fans to worry about? Because if for LeBron to play with Steph Curry, it would mean LeBron going to the Warriors, not Curry coming to the Lakers.
Yeah, to worry about, no, but you have to think about it. You have to like just file away in the back cabin of your brain and say, okay, if LeBron and the Lakers, like LeBron tells LA, hey, I don't want to re-sign for another year, then you can bring it back up. And it's because it's LeBron James. LeBron is so masterful when it comes to media appearances or what have you, and he knows, or at least he's very calculated with every single word he says. So he knew what he was doing when he said, or at least he had a plan in his mind. Do we know the plan per se? Technically, no. But he knew in his mind what he was thinking and why he was going to say Steph Curry. Maybe it's just nothing and we're just talking about it too much, but I wouldn't worry about it too much, Lakers Nation fans. But again, if LeBron does not want to re-sign this offseason for at least another season, then you will probably see it resurface a little bit more. I do think, though, Steph Curry's comments after watching it made it a little bit better, because Steph pretty much just neglected it, saying, no, that's fantasy land. I've already played with LeBron technically twice on the All-Star team. So I'm not worried about it as of right now.
Yeah, he pretty much dismissed the possibility. And again, I'd say it's unlikely, but just something to keep in mind if LeBron does not wind up extending with the Lakers. Which, by the way, we'll just talk about that now. LeBron, this offseason, the Lakers need to know what he's doing. The Lakers need to get some semblance of what he's going to do. He, as of August 4th, he can sign an extension with the Lakers. And the Lakers will probably want him to sign that extension. But in July, that's when the Lakers are going to make all the moves that they can make. That's when free agency occurs. So if you're the Lakers, you kind of need to know, hey, if we're going to trade away future stuff, if we're going to give up future cap space, if we're going to give up future draft picks, 2027, 2029, we need to know whether or not you're going to stay. Because if you're not, do we really want to give up our entire future for one remaining year of LeBron, and then he's a free agent in 2023 and off he goes? I think there's got to be communication between the two sides. And if LeBron does say, hey, I'm not staying, I'm going to leave, do you then start to explore trade possibilities? And as Eric Pincus mentioned in his piece for Bleacher Report, this is the nuclear option for the Lakers. If LeBron says, I'm not staying and I'd prefer to leave, Anthony Davis could then wind up on the trade block as well if the Lakers look to just reset the entire thing. So what LeBron decides, Steph Curry aside, what LeBron decides this summer, what he wants to do, could go a long way towards setting the Lakers' offseason strategy.
Absolutely. And I think if LeBron does not want to re-up for at least one more season, Eric Pincus mentions a potential two-year $97.1 million extension, which he could be eligible for. I think you mentioned August 4th. I think I'm a believer that, you know, some assets better than none. Just letting them walk is worse than getting something for them. And I think LeBron is still LeBron, even though I know people are going to say, oh, he's 37. Yeah, he's 37. He's still performing at this level. So you're still going to get good value for him. And also, as Eric Pincus mentions in the article, that it probably wouldn't just be LeBron. It might even be a package. You would get LeBron and AD. So imagine a haul you could get for that as well. So maybe you could see a potential clutch sports and Lakers organization split. But I think if LeBron doesn't want to come back, I think he might even demand a trade, because I think it's going to come to a point where the Lakers could be like, no, we're not trading our future assets for one more year of you, especially because you don't want to resign. So no, we're not trading this stuff to try to do some miraculous trades in hopes of one more year in next season. The Western Conference should not be as weak on paper. Looking at some of the teams that are going to be fully healthy, and it's going to be loaded on paper next year in the West. So I think we might even see more of a LeBron demanding a trade, because the Lakers won't want to just sell the team pretty much to get one more ring in LeBron in his last year on expiring contract.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the Lakers ultimately do. By the way, I do want to throw out there that that's the nuclear. I don't think that the nuclear option is the way it's going to go. I think LeBron will sign an extension. I think the Lakers are going to do what they can to build around him. I don't think that's the path we're going to go down. We're just saying if LeBron says, I don't want to sign that extension, then the Lakers have some decisions to make. And that's where maybe Steph Curry's comment or LeBron's comment about Steph Curry pops back up again. When people go, wait, well, if LeBron's not signing an extension, will the Lakers then move him? And if they do the Warriors become a landing spot? Is it that kind of what LeBron is hinting at here? We would come full circle. We would come back to this statement if and when we get to that point, but that is not what I'm expecting to happen. I'm expecting LeBron James and Anthony Davis to both be Lakers next season. Pincus also mentioned that Anthony Davis, if he does hit the trade block, there's going to be a market. There will be a real market for him, but you're not going to get what the Lakers gave up in order to get him in terms of assets because of the injury issues that he's had. So that's something the Lakers have to consider as well. I've seen some Lakers fans who have said, this is it. This is what AD is from here on out. He's injury prone. Sell now. It's not going to get better. I've seen other fans say, no, AD's a really good player. He's had kind of fluky injuries. If you're going to trade him, you wait until he has at least a healthy stretch of a season before you do it. I don't know how I feel about the Lakers looking at trading these guys. I don't think they're going to do it. But if they do, you better get enough stuff to really build moving forward, because they don't have some of those picks. 2023 is a pick swap. 2024 or 2025, goes to the Pelicans. So if you're going to trade those guys, you got to make sure that you're getting what you need to restock this team for the future.
Absolutely. And to go on that Anthony Davis thing really quickly about his injury concerns, which makes sense from a team perspective, but at least from this year's injuries anyway, which is the reason why he's only played 40 games this year as of recording this video, like, you look at the two major injuries he's had, a dude fell into his knee and his ankle touched the earth. Like, those are, like, two, because he felt like he was going for a rebound, he just came down and landed. Like, those are two really fluke plays. And the second one is a basketball play that anybody's played basketball before. They've had an injury like that where you just come down after trying to get a rebound and you turn your ankle. So maybe you could go back to last year and say, oh, well, those are some of the injury-prone stuff, or even New Orleans. But for this year, I think those are more just fluky injuries. But I do think you can make an argument that AD, prior to that first injury against New Orleans, was not playing well. And then he comes back, and then he started playing really well, and then he gets hurt again. And I think he's been fine since coming back from his second injury. But, yeah, I'm more on the side of, at least for this year, those are two fluky injuries. I still think he's a great player when healthy, but that's unfortunate because he just hasn't been recent years.
Yeah. Yeah, he has not been. When he's healthy, he can be one of the very best in the NBA. By the way, did you see this? So we're recording this here Wednesday evening. The Suns, after playing all their starters, they benched all their starters the games before the Lakers, played them all against the Lakers, went right back to benching their starting players against the Clippers, Mikal Bridges being the only one who stayed in from the starting five there. And the Suns brought all their guys back specifically to knock out the Lakers. Some Lakers fans saying, thank you, put us out of our misery. But still, people who think there isn't an anti-Lakers agenda out there among other teams in the NBA, it exists. It's a thing. Look at what the Suns just did. Yeah, this is a real thing where the Suns, you know, sticking it to the Lakers was something that they were there for.
Somehow they only lost by four. Now, granted, they scored 48 points in the fourth quarter, only gave up 26. But, somehow they lost by four. But, yeah, they definitely hate the Lakers. I don't have real any animosity towards the Suns. I think it's one of those things, like you mentioned, we went on the New Orleans Pelicans radio for ESPN, I think it was, and they asked you if you have any animosity towards the Pelicans. You're like, no, I don't care, pretty essentially, is what you said.
Yeah,
but the Suns definitely hate the Lakers.
Let's get back to the Eric Pincus piece about the Lakers' future. He says changes at the top are unlikely. So a lot of Lakers fans right now are looking at this team from the perspective of burn this thing. This is the worst season ever. And I think they're right. I think compared to expectations, this is the worst season of the Lakers ever. And it's not even just, hey, they were supposed to represent the West in the finals based on the betting odds coming into the season, and now they're not even a playoff team. That's bad enough. But you look at the game script, how many times this team fell to pieces late or had the fake comeback, how many times they gave the fans just a little bit of hope and then ripped it right back. It was difficult game to game watching this team. And again, we still have some games left. Speaking as though the season is completely done, we still have games left. But it's been tough from that narrative, from that side as well. And now you've got fans looking at this saying, why would you not just burn this whole thing to the ground? Get rid of anybody who made the decisions that led to this team needs to go, get rid of them all. And Eric Pincus is saying, they're probably not going to change anything in their front office. Rob Pelinka, the Rambi, Curtin Linda Rambis, everybody's staying put. What do you think about that? Should there be changes being made at the top?
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
I think, to some degree, and I think that you've thrown out this idea in the past that the Lakers should at least bring in somebody that can kind of be the magic role, if you will, that, like you mentioned, knows the cap really well. I think Rob Pelinka can go ahead.
Just know the cap better than Magic does. Please.
Oh, yes, please.
Being that role, but have a better understanding of the cap. Yes.
Yeah, because if it was up to Magic Johnson, we'll be the Saints of the NBA. So there you go. But look, I think Rob Pelinka can build a championship roster. I think he's shown it. Like, he built that roster 2 years ago with the Anthony Davis trade and LeBron surrounded him with good pieces. Even last season, you can make a legitimate argument. That year, like, hey, we were just really banged up. This is a great team. That just was derailed by injuries. LeBron got hurt. Dude fell. Tommen Hill fell to his ankle. Anthony Davis missed time. And we were up 2-1 on the team that went to the NBA Finals. And then you come into this year, and what the heck, Rob? So I think in the NBA, where the lifespan of a GM is so short anyway, you have to hit every year. So I definitely think there needs to be some pressure on Rob. But that's basically what Eric Pincus talks about in the article. But I agree with your standpoint that, hey, let's get another guy who knows the cap really well that can kind of assist Rob Pelinka in a way. I don't think the Ram buy are going to leave anytime soon, unfortunately, just because of Genie's relationship with them and the fact that Genie and the Lakers, quite frankly, just have this family tree concept. Or, nope, if you're not a part of the Lakers family tree, you're not, no chance. Cue the Vince McMahon music. No chance you're getting in. You have to be on the Lakers family tree. And I think that's kind of frustrating. I think that's a lot of the Lakers fans' frustration as well.
And I wonder, too, the perception of Kurt and Linda Rambis is largely negative. It's largely negative among Lakers fans.
Yeah.
But do we really know? We don't know what those discussions look like behind closed doors. Maybe mm-hmm. both of them were saying, do not trade for Russell Westbrook. Why would you do that? And Rob Pelinka was saying, yes, we need to trade for him. And that's what happened. But we don't know. We don't know exactly mm-hmm. what those conversations. We've heard little things here and there, and those things don't tend to sound very favorable towards the Rambi, as it were. But still, we don't know for sure. But in any event, Pincus did mention that Rob Pelinka's got at least one more year to fix this.
Yeah.
My concern with that is it sounds like a self-imposed deadline of a year where the team's putting a limit and saying, hey, you need to fix this by then. The problem is, with that getting out there, everybody knows that, your bargaining power goes away. Opposing GMs, they are vultures. They're going to circle, and they're going to say, oh, you want to trade with us? Well, you better give us everything you want, because the clock's ticking on you. So if you want a deal, it's this deal or nothing. They're going to play hardball with him. They're going to try to fleece him. Same thing that happened at the trade deadline. And when you talk about a self-imposed deadline, you can't help but think about Jim Buss and Mitch Kupchak and what happened with them and the terrible moves that were made because of that self-imposed deadline and the clock was ticking. Some very negative connotations with that. Even if that's in fact a thing where Rob, hey, you know what? Let's face it. If he doesn't fix things, he could be on the way out. If there is a specific time frame that he has and everybody knows it, that can be a problem for their team as they attempt to rebuild.
Again, I think there's a difference between adding a little bit of pressure mm-hmm. and just flat out saying, okay, you have this timeline. And if you don't fix this by then, you're done. Because like you mentioned, that's when the NBA catches on. You're like, oh, crap. Rob, guess what, man? Clock's ticking. Tick-tock. Your job's on the line. Here, take this deal that, you know, they're not going to say this, where we're probably ripping you off, but you have to do it mm-hmm. now because your job's on the line. You got to get fired if you don't make moves to try to improve this roster. So that concerns me as well. I think the Lakers and Rob has to watch out for potentially getting fleeced come this offseason. Again, I think Rob, just the nature of the business, I think he does deserve to have pressure on him because last offseason was really, really bad after two pretty solid offseasons in a row. But the timeline and adding that timeline into the frame, I think, really messes things up.
Now, Rob, one of his big tasks this offseason, it's going to be to figure out what to do with Russell Westbrook. And I think he's going to do everything he can to move him. I think Russ has not had a great time with the Lakers. We've heard rumors that Russ would like out. I think the Lakers would like to move him. I think that there's been, you know, and Russ has played better down the stretch. But I think there's been enough evidence to show that Russell Westbrook and LeBron together just doesn't really work. I mean, just like we came into this season saying on paper, how do you make this work? The hope is, fingers crossed, that just talent will be more important than fit. And that has not worked out this season. So I think the Lakers will try to move on from Russell Westbrook. But assuming a new coach comes in, which I think is all but a certainty, is there any part of the Lakers that just say, you know what, a new coach comes in, maybe somebody else will have better luck, and they just stick it out with him, particularly if, let's say that the cost of trading him is very high. Let's say teams want a couple of firsts just to trade Russ. $47 million, even expiring, $47 million is not easy to move. If you're in that scenario, could the Lakers talk themselves in to keeping Russell Westbrook and a new coach maybe getting a different result?
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
I definitely prefer not. Right. What I've said in the past is the only way I'm bringing Russ back is if the only deal on the table is John Wall for Russell Westbrook in that 2027 first, which was tossed around at the deadline. That's the only scenario where I'm like, nope, just bring Russ back. We've seen John Wall play in 18 months now, maybe even more. So it's not worth it, in my opinion. Just try to continue to add on to the whatever chemistry between LeBron, AD, and Russ that's there already. Try to add on to that, and you hope that whoever your new coach is can try to figure some things out there. And that's probably the only other option as well, because, you know, the buyout and stretch option seems to not be on the table. So obviously you try to do everything you can to move Russell Westbrook. But if it's like Rob Pelinka says, hey coach, do you want Russell Westbrook? I'm pretty sure he's going to say, nah, we're good. Let's try to flip him and get some assets back.
Let me ask you this. If you are Rob Pelinka, and let's say the trade option, every GM in the NBA tries to fleece the Lakers. There is no trade option that works on the table for the Lakers. Nothing makes sense. Would you rather bring Russ back and say $47 million, start the clock, let's see this out, and then off you go at the end of the season? Or would you buy him out, stretch that over three seasons, you have to deal with that dead money sitting on your books for 3 years, and you have a little bit more flexibility to build your roster this coming season because you've got a portion of Russ's salary off your books. Maybe it allows you to retain a guy like a Malik Monk or something like that. Gives you room to maybe use a biannual exception. What would be your preference? Having that dead money on your books or just keeping Russ?
Can I ask you a question that's going to heavily
sure.
sway my opinion? Does LeBron resign?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Let's assume, because I think that's the most likely path we go down, is LeBron stays. Let's assume LeBron stays, AD stays.
Then, and no trades are on the table, I'm doing the buy on the stretch. If LeBron and AD were leaving, or LeBron's leaving, he wants to be traded or whatever, he's not resigning anyway, at least, which again, it's probably unlikely. I'm not buying him out and stretching what I think is around $13 million over three seasons. I'm not adding that dead money to my books to build, like I think we've already talked about it, to just build around LeBron for 1 year. If LeBron is staying and he signs for one more year, maybe two, as Eric Pincus mentions in the article, then sure, because again, you get a little bit more flexibility with building your roster this year. Maybe you bring back Malik Monk. I don't think that's really a necessity, because if you really think about it, as long as Kendrick Nunn is healthy going into next season, he can fill that role and be a better defender than Malik Monk. So you already kind of have your replacement to Malik Monk sitting there on your roster, literally sitting there on your roster. So if LeBron's re-signing and he re-ups his contract, then out of those two options, I'll do that. But again, unfortunately, it seems like the buy and stretch option seems to be off the table for the Lakers right now.
I think that's an interesting point too, because look, if you're the Lakers, you're Rob Pelinka. Let's say you go the nuclear route. Let's say LeBron, you go the other way. LeBron and AD say, well, I'm not re-signing. LeBron says, I'm not re-signing. And you ultimately go the trade route. You no longer have that motivation to trade Russ, right? Because instead, you're going to be moving into a different phase. You're going to be trying to reset things. You'd rather get that money off the books sooner rather than later. And so then what you're going to do is you're just going to keep Russ. You're going to play him. Who knows? Maybe at the trade deadline, some team finds themselves in need of a point guard. You let Russ do whatever he's going to do this season, and then you go from there. Maybe you find a trade for him. If not, see you later in the summer of 2023. You've got a ton of cap space.
And then you rebuild.
And then off you go. You have to remember you will have a pick swap that year as well. So you don't necessarily have a ton of incentive to bottom things out. But if Russ is able to win you some games, okay, so be it. And meanwhile, you let some of the young guys grow. Speaking of which, though, I still think, just like I said with the LeBron topic, most likely scenario, LeBron and AD comes back. Both of them come back. I don't think we see the nuclear option. I also don't think we see the nuclear option with Russell Westbrook. I think ultimately the Lakers figure out some way to move him, whether it's via trade, whether it's via buyout. I don't think he's actually back next year. But if we do see nuclear option with LeBron and AD, that changes the scenario with Russ. It's all connected. It's this intricate web of team building in the NBA here with the Los Angeles Lakers. But I want to finish with the young guys. You mentioned Malik Monk. Kendrick Nunn, in theory, can maybe take on that kind of scoring role. Different player, but can take on that scoring role if he's healthy. Knock on wood. Obviously lost the entire season due to knee issues. So who knows whether or not he's healthy next season. Malik Monk, losing him would not be great. Even if you're not sold on Malik Monk's game, just forgive losing an asset, right? A young player that you found that outperformed his contract that should have some value. Maybe you can argue the Lakers, if they really thought they were going to lose him this summer, should have tried to trade him at the trade deadline. Maybe. But again, at that point, we didn't know they weren't even going to make the playoffs. But Malik Monk's ball handling, Kendrick Nunn might be able to replace some of that. But Austin Reeves might be able to replace some of that as well. He's shown some flashes, and we saw some pretty solid passing in our most recent game that we've seen against the Denver Nuggets. Against the Phoenix Suns. We saw Austin Reeves come out and throw some really nice passes. He's shown some creative ability. I do wonder if he can absorb some of that if Malik Monk does wind up walking away. A lot of people have been concerned about having that secondary creator on the floor. Year two Austin Reeves might be able to take on that role.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Year two Austin Reeves with LeBron and Anthony Davis still on the roster could definitely help take on that role. Because, again, Austin Reeves, in my opinion, is already a high basketball IQ player. And you keep surrounding him with LeBron James, who's one of the highest basketball IQ players, not only in the league today, but ever. And Anthony Davis, who, in terms of maybe secondary playmaking, is a good pick and roll partner potentially. So I think, again, it's not like a doomsday scenario, Lakers fans, if Malik Monk walks, because quite frankly, the money demand come this offseason is just going to be out of the Lakers pay grade, which is unfortunate because, again, Monk has been good for your Lakers this year. But it's not some end of the world scenario. Go get maybe a wing that could defend and try to shape your team how you were successful. Go get guys that could defend. Austin Reeves, because Austin Reeves is a keeper. He has some playmaking ability. He's a good defender. If he can continue to improve his outside shot, then he's a real keeper, and he's a legit two-way player that you will see in the NBA today. So I think you can definitely fill in some of that stuff that you will lose from Malik Monk with Austin Reeves and Kendrick Nunn, who are both better defenders. Kendrick Nunn kind of replaces the scoring rather easily that you lose with Malik Monk as well.
in terms of asset management, it's not ideal for Monk to walk away and get nothing for him. But like you said, you could actually, if Kendrick Nunn can fill that role, you could take that money that would have gone to Malik Monk, go find a 3-and-D wing. They're not easy to do, don't get me wrong, but you find a wing player who can defend and shoot threes. There you go. And then you've got some better fitting pieces. Really, that's what the Lakers need, is more two-way players, more guys who can play on both sides of the ball, guys who can defend at a high level, guys who can space the floor for LeBron. They had this year on the team too many players who could do one of those things, who could either shoot or defend, but not both. And so that's been a challenge for the Lakers. So if you can go find more of those players, that could, as painful as it would be to watch Monk just walk away for nothing, if you can replace him with somebody who can do those things, maybe you can ease some of that pain. Speaking of...
Really quickly.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry to cut you off, but there's a reason why a lot of the NBA's mindset or thought on the Lakers signing Kendrick Nunn was, how did they do that? They thought it was a bargain. Kendrick Nunn's a career 15-point-per-game scorer with the Heat. He was on that team that went to the NBA Finals when we beat the Heat in 2020 in the bubble. So he's a good player, and his contract is extremely valuable, and it's already probably known to the rest of the NBA, hey, he's going to pick up that player option. I think there's already been stuff about that. So again, that contract for a 15-point-per-game score when healthy is a bargain. And I think you have some options as well if you want to go back to the LeBron at point role and kind of bring Kendrick Nunn off the bench as your sixth man, or you can start Kendrick as your point guard, who's not really a high usage point guard. So the ball, it does really affect him as much as it would a Russell Westbrook. So there's another option as well.
Kendrick Nunn's just got to be on the floor, though, in order for that to happen. True. And so how confident you are in him playing and playing a full season, that's going to be something for the Lakers to figure out. But the other guys, Wenyen Gabriel, bring him on back. I think you bring Wenyen Gabriel back. If you can get him on a minimum contract, you can bring him back. Stanley Johnson already has a contract for next season. The Lakers just have to pick up their option there. Austin Reeves has a non-guaranteed portion of his contract. I think you just guarantee that, and you bring him back, of course. So some of the kind of diamond in the rough players that the Lakers found this season, they can keep next year and then use that to help build up the roster moving forward. I do think the other young guy that we haven't talked about yet, Talen Horton-Tucker, it would... Honestly, I'd be a bit surprised if he's a Laker next season. I think that they're going to look to shake things up. And on the trade market, aside from trying to do something with Russ, just like we saw at the trade deadline, you probably need THT's salary in order to get a deal done. How much value does he actually have? It hasn't been a great season for him. Like in terms of return on investment, you're going to trade him. Probably better off waiting to see how he plays this season, and then hopefully he plays better, and then you can trade him at the deadline or something like that. But the challenge is, contractually, he's got a player option next summer, the summer of 2023, he has a player option. So the longer you wait, there's some declining value there too. So it's hard to say if getting him on the floor would really even help all that much. At the very least, he's a salary that you can put into a deal. I think we will hear a lot of Talen Horton-Tucker involved trades, and perhaps Kendrick Nunn as well, because just like at the trade deadline, the Lakers are going to need those salaries.
Would bringing back THT like be so awful? I know Lakers fans in the comments below are going to be kind of saying, no, trade THT. He's been bad. And I think it's part of it's because of the contract. He just hasn't been up to that standard, especially because that's a large reason why they did not bring back Alex Caruso. But would that be kind of like just this awful thing if THT is back on the Lakers next season, in your opinion?
I think it would depend on whether or not Russ is back. I think that would matter. I think that Russ and THT together, it's a terrible fit. It's a terrible fit on paper. It hasn't worked very often on the floor. If Russ is not back, you can probably get away with more minutes for THT. It's just their weaknesses are too similar, and that creates some problems out on the floor for the Lakers. If Russ is back, then yes, it could be a terrible thing to have THT back too, and you're still perpetuating that problem. If Russ is not back, then I think it becomes more palatable to retain THT, move forward with him, hope that he improves, still a very young player, and then you go from there. But again, I still think the Lakers, they're going to look to make some big moves. They're going to look to change things up. That you don't want the status quo, right? Last year, when the team was decimated by injuries, but when they were healthy, they were really, really good. That's a team that you probably want to keep the status quo for, but they blew it up. This year, we've seen a lot of injuries, But when they've been healthy, they haven't been that good. That's a team that you blow up. That's a team that you can make big moves, change it up, because you have a pretty good sense that what you've got right now doesn't work. So I think the Lakers are going to look to make some fairly decent sized moves. The roster is going to look very different next year. And I think in order to accomplish those things, you're probably going to need Talen Horton-Tucker's salary on the trade front.
Agreed.
All right. Well, a lot. There's going to be a lot. And we're going to have a lot more discussions. There's going to be so many things to break down this offseason for the Los Angeles Lakers. There's going to be all kinds of news coming out. I'm expecting to see blame coming out. I mean, it's already happening. We already heard earlier today that the Lakers front office is blaming the season on two things, on injuries and the team basically saying that LeBron strong-armed them into getting Russell Westbrook. LeBron and Russ strong-armed them into that trade. And those two things are why the season didn't go so well. I don't think that's the end of it. I think we're going to hear more leaks about people pointing fingers, playing the blame game, all of that. That's coming too this offseason. And a lot of moves, a new coach, almost certainly. So many different things are going to be going down this offseason, Sean. It's going to be a long offseason, but it's going to be so, so busy too. And I'm ready. Let's erase this team, start fresh.
I'm excited.
Let's get to July 1st, and let's rebuild this thing.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Really quickly, do you think the first move that the Lakers need to address is the Russell Westbrook thing, trade, or whatever you do with him, or is it figuring out who the heck is going to be your next head coach?
Oh, is it the coach first? No, I think it's the Westbrook thing. I think you could wait to get a coach if you needed to. It's not as big of a priority. Like, if you waited till August to find a coach or whatever, like, and not ideal, but you could. The Westbrook thing, though, you got to figure out what you're doing there. Because if you're waiting on the Russ thing, if that starts to linger too far and you don't know what you're doing, the next thing you know, it's July 5th,
yeah,
something like that, you could find yourself with no options of what to do with them. So you've got to figure that out early, what you're going to do, and you have to have contingency plans. Hey, we'd like to trade him here, then we'd like to trade him here, then here, and if these don't work, then we're going to do this buyout, and if that's not a plan, then we're going to bring him back, whatever. You have to know what you're going to do and how you're going to react as the market moves with the Russ situation. The coaching thing, you can play the long game for, and by long game, I'm talking about the off season. If you don't bring in a coach till the beginning of August, you're okay. The Russ thing, I think, because not only do you have to have that figured out, but all your other moves are going to be tied to it as well. You're going to have to get that sorted as soon as possible.
I understand that for sure, and I do agree to a certain extent that you could technically wait for head coach, but I'm going to ultimately disagree. I think you got to go head coach first.
Okay.
Because personally, I think the head coach should have at least he's not the end-all be-all, obviously. That's the GM. But I think the head coach should be involved in the decision-making process to a certain extent, because ultimately, as we kind of saw this year, right, if the performance on the floor doesn't improve or whatever, then it's the coach that's going to get blamed for it. So I do think that whoever the head coach is, he should get hired first, and then like Keith and Rob and the rest of the front office, they're kind of in synergy on what they're going to do with Russell Westbrook. And like you mentioned, okay, if it's buyout, well, we'll go this route, and then we'll build our roster that kind of helps you as a coach build out your roster, and your style fits your style of coaching. But I do see what you're saying, that technically you could play the long game and just give a coach, while not ideal, just give a coach a roster, say, here you go, this is what you have to work with. While not ideal, you could technically go that route. But I think you got to go get your head coach first, work in synergy for once, Lakers, and then figure everything else out with Russ, and then build your roster going into next season, and that actually fits your head coach going into next year.
Go player coach. Go old school. No, they're not doing that. But hey, cool. LeBron. Everybody thinks LeBron's the coach anyway. Go ahead, yeah. LeBron. Here you go. Let's go. Let's see what happens. Right. No, they're not doing that. It will be something to watch, though. Who the Lakers do pick for their head coaching job? Who's interested in it? Will some guys say we're not interested based on some of the circumstances around the team? Maybe. And then what moves do they make this offseason? A lot going on. Make sure you are subscribing to the Lakers Nation podcast over on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, as well as the LakersNation.com YouTube channel. John, thanks so much. I know we're going to be talking a lot this offseason. This was a lot of fun. And man, let's fast forward to July 1st already and get this thing running.
Can we play 2K and just like sim to July 1st? But all seriousness, yeah, please. But thanks for having me back on. Yeah, I'm excited. Let's go.
All right. Lakers Nation, thanks so much for listening. Till next time, stay safe and see ya.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.